This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And we're ready to kind of dive into another really pretty consequential week that everything kind of put together. And let's start with the C&G Road Grader of the Week. And we got to give it to a group of guys this time because we got a pretty cool stat. And we got to start out with that Woodbury offensive line.
Yeah, so Graham Goodwin, Oscar Cervellin, Truett Wasson, Mariana Corona, Emmett Aiden, Ozzie Joseph. These guys are kind of, they're up to an interesting little deal here. Woodbury Forest is really airing the ball out because they've sort of struggled running on the ground as of late. And so they're in just full pass protection mode. I mean, they're passing on like sort of screens. You hear about that in the NFL now, like sort of using the passing game as a running game. And that's what they're sort of doing. And Ben Locklear, big, tall quarterback back there. He can sling it. They're keeping him safe. And it's a pretty crazy number. In 188 pass attempts, he's been sacked 4 times.
That's it.
Which means once every 47 times he drops back, he gets sacked. That's a fantastic number.
It's awesome.
If you're in the pros, you're happy with that number. And then Locklear, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves right now. 1,572 yards, 15 TDs. And then, you know, just last week when we saw him against a very good Benedictine team, you know, they were ranked 4th in the state coming into that thing. He went 23 for 44 with 335, 2 in the air, 1 on the ground. Mm. Just a great day for him. And, I mean, it's all because of the guys up front. There were some plays that he had all day. And if you give a guy like that time to pass the ball to DeKeys Carter, Kyle Bilodeau, those two in particular. But Woodbury has a great core all around it. Weidman's a good receiver for them too. So, he made them pay for it. Big, busy day for that receiving core. And
what's the kid? Pettigrew, good one.
Yeah, he was dinged up, so he wasn't able to play in that one. Another great receiver for them when he's healthy.
They got options, man. I mean, and Locklear, if you give him that kind of time, you keep him upright like that, you're doing pretty good. There's some young dudes, too. I mean,
A freshman that's, 6'3" and 305 in Oscar Cervellin, that's a nice little toy to have for a couple years.
It's a big kid.
Only going to get bigger.
That's right.
And Graham Goodwin is enormous at 6'6". So they've got plenty to work with there. And it's kind of cool. I mean, Who would have thought with Lindell Stone leaving, maybe Air Woodbury's days are over.
Weidman got it going.
And then Locklear this year. Yeah. He's going to be there for a while for them. Yeah. If they keep this core up front, this is going to be pretty cool to watch. I mean, sort of looks a little more like collegiate's offense than it does sort of what Woodbury used to run, which was just pounding the rock up the middle. Until they sort of changed things up.
Vertical with Stone, yeah.
Yeah, sort of 2014 is when things sort of diversified for them. Mm-hmm. Woodbury in position to win another Prep League title. They've got a couple big ones coming up, Trinity Episcopal, Fork Union, and then the big one with a very good Episcopal team. So it should be fun to keep an eye on them. Their schedule has been kind of funky. They got a game canceled early on in the year. They got to play one quarter against Georgetown Prep.
That's true for the private ranks in general. Yeah. Stabs had a kind of funky schedule. Covenant's had a funky schedule. Blue Ridge had a funky schedule. Fuma's actually stayed on track pretty well for the most part. But generally speaking, everybody in the private ranks has had a little bit of trouble with
game
schedule.
Some of that is if your bye week fell when those two hurricanes were around, that sort of bailed you out. Mm-hmm. But Woodbury was playing on a short schedule anyway coming into this year. And they'll probably rectify that in the year to come. Keep an eye on them and that group up front. They did a fantastic job. Locklear did not get hit much. Wasn't exactly
rushed. Hasn't been hit much this year.
No. He was not under a lot of pressure, and that makes life pretty easy when you're a quarterback.
I think any quarterback's feeling pretty good at every 47, you got to take a hit. You got to go down. That's not bad.
In the JD, every quarterback would be delighted by that.
Thrilled. Speaking of teams in the JD that have kept their quarterback upright, kept him moving, mostly because they're running the ball, Jarrett Hunter is, we know how special a player, athlete this guy is. We talk about him during basketball season.
We talk about it during football. He's got to be our offensive player of the week after putting the Lions on his back again.
Yeah, so we had a whole bunch of guys break the 1,000-yard mark this week. So Hunter, Taylor over at Powhatan. You got Jalen Alexander doing it at Orange.
Austin Shiflett over at Western.
Yep. So Hunter clocks in at 1,007 right now. This last week, 26 for 205.
Five touchdowns.
Yes. I mean,
in the game, obviously, Louise is going to play some games that are a little bit bigger consequentially this year, but there's no bigger game out there than when they face off against Orange, and he delivered in this one.
Yeah, I mean, this is the battle of the Gordonsville Tasty Freeze that everybody gets hyped up for. Orange is a 5A school. Louise is a 4A school. Mm-hmm. The proximity to each other and just sort of that natural rivalry. And then these are sort of the battlefield district guys that came into the JD.
That's right, yeah.
And so they just got a long, rich history with each other. And Louise has really had their number. But Orange is, has a deceptive record.
I agree, yeah.
They're better than their record shows. They're more physical than their record shows. And so for Louise to sort of, they handled them, but it wasn't the blowout. Mm-hmm. Louisa does really well in that one. Five TDs from Hunter, he's not the tallest guy on the field, the strongest guy on the field. He's just slippery quick and really gritty and tough.
He's built of iron, man. The guy is tough.
He reminds me of the way David Wilson used to run around at Virginia Tech and get thrown around and then somehow pop up. Thought you threw him down to the ground and he's like a cat, just lands on his feet and pops right up. He's got a little bit of that in him, so when you have a group up front as physical as Louisa is and you have a kid with that kind of balance, it's just deadly.
There's also something about, I've heard Will Patrick talk about with Hunter that when the lights are on, when the chips are down, the guy wants the ball. We've seen that from guys over the years, guys like Jaleel Mosley that really wanted to rise. They wanted the lights. They wanted the attention. They wanted the pressure. We've had a lot of guys in this area that have done that. Malik Bell from last year, Louisa is a great example of that. Joe Whalen, too. When you get guys who want to be in the fight, who want to be the lead dog, that's a huge difference maker. And Hunter proved it on Friday, 26-205, five touchdowns. That's all you need to know.
It's that put me in coach mentality. Mm-hmm.
Give it to me. Don't just put me in, but give it to me.
Yeah, and that's not a surprise at Louisa. That's the attitude that just sort of gets built and fostered at a young age there. And so Hunter, he's had himself a whale of a season. He was dinged up a little bit early on, and he's not showing any signs of trouble right now, which is amazing considering how many touches he's gotten in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
He's getting through that. At least in the game I saw against Western, he, in several different, in most of the circumstances, he was largely getting through the first line clean. And that's a big difference. If you're being dragged down from behind or you're taking sort of a glancing shot off the side, a little bit different.
It's a lot more fun to be tackled by a defensive back than a defensive tackle.
But part of this, too, is just that Jared Hunter is tough. Yeah. He's tough as nails. So
yeah, great quick steps. The first guys are usually going to miss.
Yeah.
But whale of a game for him.
And then you flip over, defensive player of the week for us. Two guys.
This was my favorite defensive performance of the year. Big body Bill Clark.
There you go.
Out at Woodbury again. So 8 tackles, 4 of them for a loss. He had 2 fumble recoveries, one of them for a touchdown. It was almost hilarious watching him. I mean, Benedictine is a good football team, and they're good up front, and they're physical up front. And he was just like an animal possessed in the middle of the field. He's sort of playing just a little bit off the nose. And, he was just on a tear. It was like a Tasmanian devil kind of stuff. He's a hefty dude, but it's not like he was just straight bull rushing these guys. He was pretty quick for a guy of his size, getting around people, swim moves, bull rush, a little bit of everything. So fun to watch. He was really funny afterwards too. There's nothing better than fat guy football. when they have those games, I just love it.
Yeah, and Clark joins a group that is really tough. A group that has produced. The defensive line at Woodbury has produced tons of really good players over the last few years.
He's got a really good one next to him, Bilodeau on the defensive end.
They use Bilodeau a little differently now. Yeah. So a lot of fun to see. When Woodbury puts it together, they're always a fun group to watch.
And then we got another kid who you saw early in the season and had a hunch.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
We'll start patting ourselves in the back in a minute.
Yeah, it's time to start throwing the accolades my way, personally. Jake Rombach, not a guy who anybody really knew his name coming into the year. I happened to be at their scrimmage that they had to play at like 10 in the morning in mid-August against, I think it was Cosby or somebody, like somebody from Richmond. And Rombeck came up with a huge play in the backfield or the sack, maybe a couple of sacks. And I don't know, like it just looked like he looked like a guy who could be an edge rusher who could really be trouble for anybody. And so I kept asking about it, and the coaches were like, well, there's some things he's got to improve on. There's some things he's got to work on to turn into an every down guy for us. He's kind of an every down guy right now. He's also an opportunistic guy.
Yeah.
Two big fumble recoveries that he's had this year. The one that had a little bit of controversy to it against Orange, where he might have been down, might have been up. Not really clear. Either way, it counted as a touchdown. And then the recovery against Luvana as part of that wild last 6.5 minutes for Almar. Rombeck's fumble recovery was just absolutely huge. That was a point in time where they had to have it. They were just coming off Miles Ward, taking it back to the house. When anybody who's watched the wing tee, anybody who's watched Fluvanna in particular play, like that offense can turn into a black hole of time, of opportunity. Everything can kind of go down the drain because they're just holding on to the ball and grinding it out.
When a team has a lead like that in the second half, I mean, you're playing against two opponents, the clock and the team in front of you.
Yeah, and so Rombeck comes up with this huge fumble recovery. Quickly, DeQuandre Taylor and the offense drive down and score to put them up 14-13. I mean, just massive play. Tough to watch Fluvanna's, you know, deal come to an end. Great win streak by them. But Rombeck just really stepped up in a big way. He's been really good on the edge. He's been kind of a nightmare for teams in the backfield. I've had a lot of fun watching him this year because it's clear, you know, the steps that he's taken and what he's worked on, because it's paying off. It's paying off and having an impact. Now, he's got a lot of help on that defense because I love what Marquand Jones can do as a rover type. Eric Taylor got back a couple of weeks ago. He makes a big difference as far as tackles go, really cleaning things up. And John Barber, man, really underrated guy who is seemingly in on every single play. I think he's going to be a guy who's going to show up on some people's all-district teams. I mean, he's a player, but Rombeck has really helped himself in a lot of ways. He's been rock solid.
Put a price tag on being clutch.
Dude, and having a big end and having an end who can really make some plays and is rangy and is athletic. I mean, it's just a huge part of what goes on in the game today. So that's our defensive player of the week. Let's jump into the three teams that really helped themselves the most last week when it comes to the playoffs. And that's Almar. Let's start with Almar, because them squeaking it out against Fluvanna was just absolutely, you know, a must-win game.
And Albemarle schedule-wise had the opportunity here with teams with winning records. So you get a Fluvanna, you get a Powhatan, you get a Western, all to finish up the year. So they, you know, last week they were sitting in that ninth spot behind Halifax, Stafford, and Harrisonburg.
And to be clear, we haven't seen the new playoff ratings yet because a lot of teams were still finishing up games Tuesday night. We're recording this now.
So we're still on October 17th rankings.
Yeah.
But Albemarle should have pushed themselves up into playoff position with that win. If they can tack on one out of these next two, I think they're probably firmly entrenched there and somewhere in that 7 and 8 spot.
Doozy of a first round game, but at least you got a shot.
Yeah, and for a team that was sitting at 0-4, here we are. We told people like, hey, just ease up on Albemarle. 0-4 is a little funky, but this team will rebound, and they have. They just got to keep it going. Some of these games have been too close. You know, the Charlottesville game is definitely close, this one. But Albemarle has crept up and given themselves a chance to play in a game against a Halifax of Stafford early on. Play past them and see if you can play Mountain View again or North Stafford or Massaponics.
Yeah. So a big chance at redemption probably coming down the pipe for the Patriots. And just big for them as a program to win one close, and to win one when they didn't have Mekhi Washington. That's something that can't be underrated. That guy, he got knocked out. He's been so good for them the last few games during this win streak. He was really good for them against Patrick and Roanoke and a loss. I mean, he's been playing really good football. To lose him and to lean on DeQuandre Taylor, who played really good, to get the big play from Miles Ward. They got some other guys stepping up, making some big-time plays. That's huge for them, and should be a confidence booster for them. Because, you know, they're a team that seems to ride waves of momentum a little bit. I think that when they are, when things are rolling for them, they're feeling really great about things. When things get low, they get maybe lower than they should. But maybe this is something that helps even them out a little bit and understand they can play with anybody. They can stop a team in cold in their tracks that have won five straight.
Yeah, if I was them, the opportunity to finish on a six-game winning streak, I mean,
awesome.
That would drive me.
Awesome.
So that's pretty cool there. The other team that is doing themselves a lot of favors because they're playing three games in 8 days, Buckingham County with a pair of wins, one over Bluestone and another one over Cumberland. They got Randolph Henry coming up. They were sitting in the nine spot. Those two wins should launch them up into playoff position. Another situation similar to Albemarle in their region. They're not going to be able to climb only but so far. I think he might be able to get past Giles in the sixth spot at 4-4. But Buckingham's got two more left after that. Randolph Henry, and then I think they finish up with Prince Edward. But the big thing for them, I mean, when they lost Gary Toney, things went south pretty quickly, just in terms of offensively of what they're able to do. Walter Edwards has been an absolute beast for them at running back. He is such a gritty runner. He's been that way since as a freshman, and he's just getting tougher and faster and stronger and just sort of a true every down back now. They've got him, and with Xavier Copeland and Deshaun Barty, they've got some explosive stuff, especially in the return game. So Buckingham's a pretty fun team to watch. Cole Edmondson up on the offensive line and defensive line. He brings the physicality for a group that's got a lot of juniors and a lot of sophomores. So this will be a team to keep a watch on, not just for this year, but for next year. It could be pretty sweet for Buckingham if everything falls into place there.
And that's what you want to see, and that's why I think some of those other teams down, you know, like a Goochland or Amelia, want to see Buckingham playing really well because they want those that competition that you need in the James River to get yourself ready for the playoffs.
And it really has been for the better part of a decade. There's been at least two good teams in the James River. Sometimes there's three. Having four teams be competitive there would be absolutely huge for them. Because how do you prepare yourself for an Appomattox down the road? I mean,
it's tough.
You only get to sort of line up against a really great team once or twice in a season. It's just really hard to gear up.
For Goochland's usually so early that they get a chance. So, yeah, they definitely want to see that. And the third team that really helped themselves out in a big way.
Here we go. William Monroe.
It's Dragons time, guys.
William Monroe sitting at 0-5 a couple weeks ago, and now they're at 2-6. Big win over a team that was in front of them, a 2-5 Skyland team. So that's huge for them going forward. They have an opportunity to finish out a winless Warren County team and then a pretty good Culpeper team.
Yeah.
So that'll be a real test for them. But if they can pick up the win over Warren, William Monroe, a playoff team,
maybe. This is one of the strangest regions in the state of Virginia with Culpeper up top.
You're looking at
a lot of people are actually unclear about like what the numbers are supposed to be in this region. There's been some debate, I think, online about whether like the numbers are correct that the VHSL is producing, but like it seems only appropriate that Region 3B would have these kind of issues. And William Monroe, I mean, like they've been sitting there at 10, but to pick up a win. Huge win against Skyline. And by the way, you got to go check out the recap because Brian Mellett's got this really cool photo. I think it's Sal Coyne that's leaping. Sal Coyle, leaping above everybody. They got a really good game. I think it was the new kid, Dupree. Dupree Rucker got going in a big way for him. That was big. Alex Kinsey scored a touchdown. I mean, they got some stuff happening. And this has been a William Monroe team that's been waiting around. The Brentsville loss, I feel like, is going to weigh heavy because it's sort
that
of...
That was a real opportunity. Brentsville's the third-ranked team in this region.
Let's hear it for Region 3B, which is just wild because there are teams with all kinds of records that are all over the place. And James Monroe's floating around in that region, might be the best team in the region, but they're having trouble. Some nights they're playing really rough. So who knows who's coming out of 3B. Very strange region. But William Monroe now has a shot because they got that win over Skyline. They got a chance to work themselves back in. And frankly, if you're in it in Region 3B, you have no idea what could happen. You really want that chance.
Yeah, and Monroe's another sort of team that we sort of put in that category with Orange where I feel like they're a better team than their record shows. But the problem for them is the last 2 years it's been that way. And they just... Eventually, you have to get over the hump. If you want to become a good team, you got to find a way to grit it out.
No question.
So getting that win over Skyline, that's absolutely huge. Let's see if they can keep it going against Warren.
So that takes us. Those are the three teams that really helped themselves the most. Now we're going to look at the three games that seem like they're the most consequential. Let's get a few things out of the way because we're squared away. Goochland looks like they'll probably keep on rolling, and they're kind of locked in there.
They've got a nice end-of-season game with Amelia, but the way things have gone sort of in the past, if Goochland loses a regular season game, something weird happened.
No question.
I think this would be their third straight perfect regular season.
Louisa's similar situation. Not saying that those are automatic wins against Charlottesville and Fluvanna, but like they do seem to be pretty locked into where they are.
Those would be pretty substantial upsets, yeah. I think.
And we're going to talk about one of those games in a second. But then you look, you know, like we said, Goochland's good. Over in eight-man, Covenant and Stab look like they're pretty locked into like the one spot for Covenant, two or three for Stab. You look at Blue Ridge, they're still trying to fight their way in, but their games, they got Fishburne, and then they've
Benedictine.
Got and then Benedictine, a very tough matchup. So they got kind of, we kind of know, I'm not saying it's a lock, but like we kind of have a pretty good feel for how those two games are going to go. And then Blue Ridge is going to just have to see how it shakes out. Woodbury, we know how they're going to finish up the season every year because they finish it up with Episcopal every year.
Yeah.
Madison's still fighting for its life down there, but it's going to be tough for Madison to get the kind of points they need to move up. That leaves us with three. Well, we got one more.
No, I think, basically when it comes down to it, Region 3C is the one that's really up for grabs.
It's way up for grabs because two of our local teams are involved in it. They're both kind of battling it out for those spots. Fluvanna took a little bit of a hit with the Almar loss, but if Almar beats Western, you know, those kind of things, and they get the bonus points from playing five, then maybe that's not that bad a loss for Fluvanna. So they got to feel okay about that kind of loss. But they were only a point away from figuring that one out, and they were only 6.5 minutes from being a shutout. So,
yeah.
Tough loss for Fluvanna, but Fluvanna's feeling pretty good about things. Western's feeling pretty good about how things have been rolling for them lately, and now we're staring down three most consequential games down the stretch, it feels like, are Western Fluvanna, Almar Western, and Louisa Fluvanna. And Western Fluvanna this week is the one that kind of gets it kicked off.
Yeah, I mean, that's an absolutely huge one because they're in the same region.
Yeah.
So that's just
big determinant on who gets a home game because they're right there. The 3-4-5 slot is Fluvanna, Western, Spotswood. One of those teams is getting shut out of a home game, most likely, unless somebody jumps up in a big way, which it would take something special for Rockbridge or somebody to move up. But it looks like those three teams would kind of be battling it out. And if, say, Western beats Fluvanna, that's going to make it real tough for the Flucos.
If Western beats Fluvanna or the next week beats Albemarle, they get a lot out of that.
Yeah.
A huge kick for them. And Fluvanna's in the same spot. If they can beat Western or they can beat Louisa, that's just a huge...
Heavy lift.
Heavy
lift, a tough finish for Fluvanna right now, but... You know, they know that they know how to win some games. They know that if they were able to hang with an Almar team and be leading late, they got to feel pretty good about the kind of situation that they're in if Fluvanna can shore up some things.
Here's what I like about sort of the situation for both Western and Fluvanna in this. Sort of regardless of how it plays out, just being in these three games, these are playoff games. You're talking about
good
atmosphere
point.
And in sort of week 8 and 9 and 10, these last 3 weeks, to be able to go into the playoffs, sort of having your playoffs already started.
Yeah.
And I think that makes
it's time
huge
to go.
Difference
it's, you're
in,
right.
in mentality. We've seen it 1,000 times where, look at last year how good Louisa was, but that first week against Cortland, there was some rust because they were just so used to only having to play two quarters. And when it comes to playoff football, you're going to get four quarters. You might get lucky in a first-round game. That's about it. But you got to be one of the top seeds to do that. Western and Fluvanna are going to come into this Region 3 playoff, sort of in battle mode already. That's a great opportunity for them to sort of get an edge.
Yeah, let's go ahead and declare it. Playoffs start this week for some of these teams.
Absolutely.
Like it's time to win. It is time to win. You're not win or go home, but you've got to get to that mentality where you're locking up as good a game as you can in that first round.
Trying to get that home game.
You're going
to
need those points because a lot of teams are going to be making a late charge here, would be my guess, down the stretch. So, Western Fluvanna starts this week. You get another battle. This is another game. The Jefferson District dominated by big-time rushers this year. We got 1,000-yard guys all over the place. And this one is another game that will be two teams that want to impose their will on the ground. It's going to be about who is able to do it. That's a big ball game. Austin Shiflett versus the array of runners, whether it's Nate Smith, Prophet Harris, Kobe Edmonds, Demetrius Christmas, whoever Fluvanna gives the ball to on any given play. and running behind a big offensive line and running behind a over there Fluvanna, and then Western running behind a smaller but very crafty, very efficient technician type line. So it should be a lot of fun to see those two. The styles are same, but the schemes are very different.
It's strength on strength. Yeah. And, you know, it's sort of battle of the wills here.
Yeah. So then you flip over and you got, after that game, depending on how everything kind of shakes out, you got two really big games in the last week of the season. You got Almar Western playing on a Thursday night. You got Louisa Fluvanna. Who knew going into this year that Louisa Fluvanna staring at the end of the year would be a really, really big ball game. Louisa's got to get through Charlottesville first. And obviously, Charlottesville struggled to win this year, but in fairness, they got things going in the right direction in the last couple of weeks. They got a little more going. Tobias Foley continues to put up big numbers. They came very close to beating an Almar team that is pretty good. That one's not a complete lock either. So Louisa's got to get through Charlottesville. Then they got to get through Fluvanna. I mean, they've got to have those wins just to keep pace in their incredible region, like we talked about
earlier.
It's
the same as it was last year for them. Yeah. It's the same horses. It's Dinwiddie, it's Monacan, it's Eastern View.
And it's a plus, I think, for them to be playing a tougher Fluvanna team there at the end of the year.
Oh, they love it. There's no doubt about that. Especially just sort of, I mean, I think everybody sort of likes a little change of pace. We're talking between Western and Fluvanna, we're talking about two teams that won just a couple games last year.
Yeah.
So anytime things get turned on their head in the JD, it's a good thing. Parity, I mean, as fans, it's great. But I think even the coaches, it's sort of nice to see different
teams. That's what they want to see. You want to be challenged because you want to be challenged during the district so that by the time you get to the playoffs, you know who you are, you know what your identity is, and that's what you can lean on. So a lot of big games coming up here in the next couple of weeks. Really excited to cover them. It's always fun when you get to this time of year. And like we said, maybe this
football weather now.
Oh, it's nice outside. Let's get fired up. Get excited. Playoffs start now. We declared it. Playoffs are going now.
Very Berman-esque.
If you stuck around this long, you got to hear this Chris Berman-like speech. We appreciate you sticking around and listening to us, and we'll be back next week. Thanks a lot.
Here on the Blitz.
Here on the Blitz. That was too good.